Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
Sorry.
Yes.
Until she finished one time saying Birkat HaMazon and she kissed the phone.
ויהי בשלח פרעה את העם ולא נחם אלוקים דרך ארץ פלישתים כי קרוב הוא כי אמר אלוקים פן ינחם העם לראותם מלחמה ושבו מצרים ויסב אלוקים את העם דרך המדבר ים סוף וחמושים עלו בני ישראל מארץ מצרים. On these two psukim, we can talk for hours.
We don't
Beshalach.
Have
Beshalach.
Beshalach. We don't have
hours. Beshalach.
So we'll talk only on one word. Beshalach. Beshalach. Yes. Beshalach paro. When Pharaoh sent the people, God decided not to take them in the shorter way, but he turned them around with a long way. Why? Because maybe with the sea war, they will want to come back to Egypt. Who sent Am Yisrael out of Egypt?
Paro?
God.
God sent Am Yisrael out of Egypt. So why is it written here, Vayhi b'shalach Paro? Paro is just a puppet. He is doing nothing. God is sending Am Yisrael out. And by the way, if we look in the last parasha, we'll see that it's written very clearly that God took us out of Egypt.
Yeah, he took us out.
We've got to remember that.
But we've got to be reminded always.
What? About what?
That God took us out of... That we went,
that's what I'm asking. So why is it written, Vayhi b'shalach Paro? Why is it written...
That, like Doreen said.
What?
Hashem take us out from Egypt, but in this time, Paro send us out.
Is it not the same?
No.
Then. Why not?
Explain.
Because Pharaoh ordered us out of Egypt. Hashem arranged for us to go out of Egypt. But Pharaoh gave the order. We couldn't go until he said, yes, go.
Couldn't we? If God wants us to go out.
Well, in this case.
No, no. The question is, we have to understand, if the Torah tells us, Vayhi b'shalach Paro, and when we look and on all what's written before, ואמרת אליו בחוזק יד הוציאנו השם ממצרים מבית עבדים. So who took us out of Egypt? God. And it's very clear. We know it's God that God took us out of Egypt. The question is, why is it written ויהי בשלח פרו? Now, when we talk about Pharaoh, we're not, again and again I'm saying it all the time, we're not talking about something that happened a few thousand years ago. We're talking about something that's happening now. Pharaoh sees all the miracle and he still thinks that who is sending Am Yisrael?
He.
And by the way, the whole parasha is talking about trusting God, emunah ve'bitachon. The whole parasha. Mm-hmm. We have parashat Aman in our parasha. Yeah. We have Shirat Hayam. And all those things are just to show us that God is the one and the only one. There is nobody else. But it all starts, Vayhi b'shalach Paro. That with all the miracles we see sometimes, we still think that we are doing things. We see the miracles happening around us, but we still think that President Trump is going to decide what's going to happen with Jerusalem. But the one who is going to decide what's happening with Jerusalem is only God. But when we look around, unfortunately, we see a lot of things happening. And sometimes, you know, with all due respect, we believe in everything, but we think that they've got something to owe. The worst thing is that we think that we're doing something. If somebody is very successful, I did it. You did nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, this is exactly the idea. What went into his mind of Pharaoh after all the plagues he got, and he then is chasing Am Yisrael to the sea?
He suddenly realized that all his slaves were God.
Yes, and he thinks that he has the power to do something about it. And that's the reason it's written Vayihi b'shalach Paro. Now, why is God not taking Am Yisrael in the short way? What's the problem?
Philistines were in the way.
What?
Where were the Philistines? Where were the Philistines?
He didn't take them where they were.
We had a short way, and he took them in a long way. Why? Because when you go on the short way, you go through villages of the Philistines,
right?
So the Eretz Plishtim, and he didn't want them to go through there. Why?
So God's protecting his people. And they didn't realize this.
So God's got a problem. God's got a problem to protect them.
No.
So what's the idea behind it? We have to understand.
Then people lose faith. That's what.
In other words, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. Our problem is not a fear of our physical war, but from a spiritual war. Don't forget for a minute that those people are just now getting out of the Tuma of Mitzrayim, idol worshippers, and as we know, Hamushim Yatsu, says the Midrash, only one of five. In other words, 20% only got out of Egypt. One of five. 80% stayed in Egypt. With all the miracles happening.
They still weren't convinced.
Because the problem, we have to understand, is now in the Gemara there's a story about, I think one of the rabbis gives a shiur and he talks about Menashe, this evil king. And he talks to him like our friend Menashe, like making fun of him. And in his dream at night, Menashe reveals himself to him and says, "Who are you to call me your friend? I am your friend. If you would have lived in our generation, you would pick up your gown and run to worship idols." In other words, we do not understand today what's the meaning of worshiping idols. But if we want to imagine it and put it in, let's say, in perspective for us to understand, it's today, what is our God?
Money.
What are people prepared to do for money?
Almost everything.
You are now, for example, have two things to do. To pray Mincha, or Shachrit, or Mariv, or to go do and close a business deal. What would you do? Simple question. Of course I'm going to close the deal. But if it's Mincha time, and if you're going to do this deal, you won't get Mincha on time.
You miss Mincha.
And I'm taking Mincha as a sample. It can be any other mitzvah you choose.
Yeah, sure.
You have to visit a sick guy. And you have certain hours that you can go. But, from the other side, you have this business deal to close.
But what does God, Hashem, expect of these people?
Expect them to do what the right thing to do is. And what is, if you trust God, you understand that whatever God wants to give you, is going to give you anyway. So to run after the money won't help you. Because you get exactly the same amount of money that you're supposed to get. That's, by the way, Parashat Aman. What's written in Parashat Aman? We're talking about Vayibeshalach Paro. What's the idea? The idea is very simple. The manna was getting, every day you got the portion for this day, not for the next day. Why? Why don't you give Am Yisrael, like you go to the supermarket, you buy for the whole week. Give them once a week, man. They have food for the whole week. Why every day?
To remind them coming from heaven.
So the Gemara says, if somebody's got bread on his table today and he's worried about tomorrow, he is not a believer. So that's what the Gemara said. Now you think, how many of us are making sure that we'll have food not only tomorrow, but the next week and the next year?
Well, now we've got freezers before that. My mother used to take her shopping bag and buy it for every day.
Because we were on the
Mercantile Planet. You don't know about it. You're too young.
So, the idea is that if I took today more than I'm supposed to go to take, when I get to my tent back, what did I have in my hands?
Nothing.
I had only the portion that I was supposed to take. Yeah. Now, if I would have, let's say I have a very big family and I went to bring the bread for them and I didn't manage to take all the portions. And I got back to the tent, what did I have?
The exact portion for everyone.
Exactly. In other words, hamarbe lo imit v'machzir, Whatever you took, you got only what you're supposed to take. In other words, if you wake up in the morning, 5 or 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work and end your work when at midnight, you will still get the same money, the same parnosa, as the one who goes at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock to work and comes back at 4.
Socialism.
That's Parashat Aman. They said this week on Tuesday it was a Sgula to read Parashat Aman, Parmai Mikra ve'achat Targum. And I said in Shul, you have to understand the Sgula is not reading it. It's to understand it and believe in it. And what is to believe in it? It's very for that. If I left, oh, I had leftover for the next morning, what happened to the leftover? Got rotten. In other words, what is God telling us? It's not a story, it's a story about life. Today, God is telling us, if you are being stingy on yourself and you keep for tomorrow, and eventually what was going to happen? You got nothing. God gives you, enjoy it. Oh, of course, everything with a limit. But God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to enjoy life. That's why he gives you. Because he wants you to be happy and worship God in the best way you can. In other words, to be stingy because I want to make sure that I will going to have money tomorrow and the next day and the next year.
You mustn't
stint yourself. Exactly. You have to live according to your abilities. Not too much and not too little. That's a part of Parashat Aman.
Okay.
And by the way, if we're talking about working, if you are trusting God, really real believer, you didn't have to go far away to get your man. It was right in front of the tent. But if you were not a very good believer, you had to go for a mile, 2 miles to get your man. And the funny thing is, somebody asked me a very interesting question. What's the problem? You take his neighbor's man. Good question. So it must be that you couldn't touch what belongs to somebody else. Another lesson. You cannot touch what belongs to your friend. It's no reason to be jealous. It's not yours. You cannot touch it. So if you're a believer, you can work a little less. But you have to go to work. Because if the tzaddik sat in his tent, the man didn't come to him. He had to go out of the tent in order to get the man. So you have to do ishtadlut. You must do ishtadlut. Otherwise, you get nothing. Mishlach lecha bracha bechol ma'aseh yadecha asher ta'aseh. God is promising us, I'm going to bless the things you do. Do. You have to do. Asher ta'aseh. If you don't do, it's like this joke with the guy who is praying God every week that he wants to win the lottery.
Gotta buy a ticket.
God tells him, buy a ticket. What do you want me? Well, you want me to help? How do you want me to help you? So if somebody thinks that he can sit and do nothing, wrong. You have to do. But according to your belief, it depends. If you are a real guy who trusts God, so God is going to bring it to you in an easy way. If you don't trust God, God is going to give you to nature and you're going to have to work much harder. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many hours you work. Because whatever God wants you to get, that's what you're going to get. Now, amazingly, on Friday, all the people come to Moshe and tell him, wow, look what you told us, we cannot take more than one portion each one. And now we've got each one 2 portions. What's happening here? In other words, they are worried because tomorrow what's going to be?
Shabbos.
He says, tomorrow is Shabbos. Tomorrow it's not going to be. Today you get for tomorrow also. But we had 2 clever people, Datan and Aviram.
Yeah, right.
And they put something outside. They wanted to show that Moshe is not right. And they went the next morning on Shabbos to find what they put in the field. And what did they find?
Nothing.
Because if you think you can work on Shabbos and get more parnasa, nothing. You work on Friday, also for Shabbos. Yeah.
They made a test?
Yeah,
They wanted to hide the man outside in order to, like, the next morning to come out and show everyone, hey, you see, there is man. But
yeah,
there was no man.
They have nothing to eat.
No, they have no.
They didn't care. They wanted
to prove
the point. How many of us do those things? They're sometimes willing not to eat, but to show. I'm going to show him. And now, The more I learn this Parashat Haman, I discover it's so clever and so much in it. So just read it and think that the Parnosa is going to fall on you? Anybody who thinks like this is stupid.
But I've heard this story how many years ago? The Haredi. Why are they suddenly realizing now that you've got to work to get a Parnosa?
They didn't realize it now. It's a matter
it's
of
not
it's
something
a
new.
It's nothing new, and but people what? Used to work
all
for.
Of a sudden they're realizing it.
Yeah, you have to understand when we look at the history, at our history, we'll find out that it's only a very limited period of time that people didn't go to work and just sit and learn.
But people,
in the old times, everybody used to work. Yeah, it's something new that happened. I don't know, maybe 70 so years ago or something like this. That's it's all new.
But
depends who he was. But there were only few of those. Gandhi. That's a different story. But yes, yeah. Sorry.
Here the ladies were studying all the time. Meantime, the other Yehudim were slaves. Yes, but they were in Goshen studying all the time. And even when the Paro said that they would give them food for the workers, for the slaves, they gave a little from each one for the levies, them to eat.
So
they didn't work.
Okay, no.
They studied.
So what's the problem?
No.
This
well,
is
all
the
to
Haredim
and Levi.
There
always were people that only
stand. Yeah, but there are only few. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about one tribe from 12 tribes.
Okay, but...
But somebody has to teach the people. Somebody has to sit on them. No, I understand. That's what I'm saying. You see, in life, everybody's got a mission. Everybody's got a job. So you need teachers? You need teachers. Teachers have to learn in order to teach others.
Of course.
The teacher is not going to work in... that's their job. In other words, Shevet Levi, their job was to educate the people. That's what their job. It's a very important job. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, today, when we look at the people that educate the next generation, there is a lot to talk about it. No, I'm saying it's not so... I must tell you, in Germany, for example, a teacher... In Germany, a teacher is a very high level.
Yeah,
in
Japan and when you had in Tel Aviv, the teachers who taught at the Shalom Tower, I mean, they were considered on a very, very high level. They were professors. You're in Tel Aviv.
When?
In the beginning.
That's the problem.
In the 40s,
50s. Because in the beginning, only the intelligent could teach. And that's exactly the point. But what happened through the years? Unfortunately, we find out that if you tell somebody that you're a teacher, they're like, misken.
Yes, but in Germany, in Japan, the teachers are more than a minister.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. Those are the people who educate the next generation. You need the top people.
Absolutely.
You need the best people there.
Teachers here.
And this is the problem. My wife is also a teacher, who was a teacher for many, many years, and we all know the system from very, very close. Baruch Hashem, I'm not saying everybody is stupid. There are a lot of good teachers. But the point is that when you look at a teacher today, instead of giving him an honor, people look down at him. Look down at teachers.
And the parents haven't got respect for the teachers.
The parents, the kids, and nobody. And that's... So what is our conclusion? That teacher is a very important job. In other words, if Shevet Levi are doing their job, teaching and learning and teaching, it's very good. That's how the way it's supposed to be. You need carpenters, you need builders, you need lawyers, you need doctors, and you need teachers. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But imagine to yourself that everybody is teachers.
But not everyone can be a teacher.
Well, what's he going to do now? If there are no carpenters and no builders and no doctors and no lawyers, who is going to do the job?
The Arabs.
In other words, in other words, the ideal world is that we will worship God and do only for God. But this is up there. It's not here. Here we got a mission. And when we finish the mission, then we'll go up there. But till then, we have a job to do. Beze'at apecha tochal lachem. That's what's written. No, I'm saying. The question is always, so how many hours a day I have to work? And how many hours do I have to study, to learn, to do mitzvahs? Everybody's different. That you have to sit with yourself and find out. Nobody can tell you. You know, I hear this question again and again and again. And I explain to you, it's you know, for example, I know about myself that I used to start working early, then I stopped and I used to wake up early and then go to learn. And then I had, let's say, a period of time that was very difficult in the business. And my wife told me, yes, well, 11 o'clock you open the business. Who opens the business at 11 o'clock in the morning? You have to open at 9 o'clock, 10, 8 o'clock. You sit and learn, and then what do you think? Money is going to fall from heaven? And you know, you again and again and again and again, then you think to yourself, maybe she's right. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. So I asked Rabbi Peretz, Ranan, I sat talking to him, and says, well, what do you think? Well, he says, how long are you doing it? He says, I'm doing it for quite a long time. He says, so go on, doing it. He says, is there a problem people have to come, let's say, at 8 o'clock, or they can come whenever they want? People who come at 8 o'clock can also come at 11 o'clock. Baruch Hashem. Today,
you have the internet. You can do.
you're laughing, but that's a different world. And whatever tools, that's exactly the idea. You have to use the tools around you and do the clever thing. Do what's good for you and for God, not only for your physical path, for your spiritual path. And there are today there are so many tools to do things in a different way than old times. Mm-hmm. And I, Baruch Hashem, I'm very privileged. I have my two sons in the business. So even when I go to work, I sit, let's say, a few hours a day and I learn. I write a few books. I do a lot of sitting in the at work. So what? But if they need me, I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I'm privileged.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. This is the thing. You have to see what can I do? What is going to work for me? Somebody else has to work harder. Somebody else, let's say, can sit the whole day. You know, people think, to sit the whole day and learn in yeshiva, you think it's easy?
Yeah.
Like to do it, really doing it. Not to say, I'm going to the yeshiva to learn. It's a hard job. Is everybody suitable for it? No. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the thing. That's Parashat Aman. What is he? Is he telling us? You have to go out of the tent. Otherwise, you got no food. If you sit in the tent, the food is not going to come in. And we have the scheme of Zvulun and Yisachar, which we'll see. Zvulun work, and Yisachar sit and learn. But if you think for a minute that Zvulun didn't learn at all, you're mistaken. He learned a few hours, and then he went to work. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him the blessing, so he will have enough for him and for Yisachar. But that was a business deal. That's a business deal. And it's nothing wrong with it. If I take a yeshiva bachor that I know that sits and learns, I'm saying, I want to be your partner. You sit and learn, I support you. But I want you to sit and learn the whole day. Not playing games. You know, the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal said that when people will come up there, they will be ashamed of what? Because God is going to show them the guy who supported them while they were sitting and learning. And he will show them all the times that they are, instead of learning, did other things. He says, this is the biggest shame they will have when they go up there. Because they have to realize, if they sit and learn, and somebody is supporting them, that's like a partnership. They have to do the job. They cannot just take the money. And it's a big question. It's a big responsibility, it's a big question. So if you ask me, what should I do? Sit and learn the whole day, sit and work the whole day? Everybody's got his own share. But the thing is that in our head, we have to take the right decision, what God wants me to do. God gave me powers. God gave me talent.
Abilities.
So what do I do with them? So as we said, there is no problem to enjoy life. If God gives you, enjoy life. If you're going to be stingy and keep it for tomorrow, the shares will collapse. The business will go down. God has got a lot of ways. You know, this guy came to the Chofetz Chaim. It's a famous story. And he was a very rich guy. He had a lot of properties and he had money in banks all over the world. So he was a believer. Yeah? So he came to Chofetz Chaim. He says, I want to ask you a question, Rabbi. You know, I know that God gives and takes, but I want to say, how can God take all the money I've got? Well, I've got money all over the world. What, God is going to make all the banks to collapse? I know the Chafetz Chaim didn't even raise his head. He says, yes, you know, but God can take you from the money. So we better not ask questions like this. So, and this is exactly the point. We have to understand them. That's Parashat Haman. Parashat Haman is to understand and read. What is it telling us? And it's telling us unbelievable things. Why is it every day and not once a week? Because God wants us to believe and understand that if He provides you today, don't worry about tomorrow. He's going to provide you tomorrow. So when we talk about this, okay, so I should only worry about the food today and then not worry about tomorrow? This is very difficult. Who can do this? Nobody. But the idea is, when we talk about today and tomorrow, it's not a matter of putting it in a physical time. It's a matter, a state of mind. To understand and realize, I do what normally people would do for the parnosa, because God created the world in a certain way. Nature is God. In other words, if we go with the laws of nature, we are doing what God wants us to do. That's why the Gemara has got this guy, his wife died and he had a baby and he couldn't breastfeed his baby. So God made him breast so he could feed his baby. So the Gemara says, wow, what a great guy this guy is. What a miracle God made for him. And the other sages said, what miserable is this guy? What a miskeni is. Why? God has to do a special miracle for him and now it's going to take from his rights. Because God doesn't want to do things above nature. That's why He created nature. He wants us to go with the nature. And through the nature, we will see the miracles. It's like parnosa. You know, I see it in the business every day. You know, it's just often to open your eyes. For example, a guy comes, I told you, so many stories. A guy takes something, he's not satisfied, he wants to give it back. I don't have to take it back. According to the law, he took the stuff, there's no problem with it, and he opened it, and he assembled it. I don't have to take it back. But who is giving it parnosa? He is giving it parnosa? No. God is giving it parnosa. So sometimes you do things that maybe in other businesses they won't do. But Baruch Hashem, if you understand and realize that you cannot touch the man of the other guy, whatever God wants you to give, He's going to give you and you're going to get it. By hook or by crook, it doesn't matter. You're going to get it. You do just this tadlu. You know, sometimes this guy comes, he brings back 10 chairs, for example. And you know, you're very aggravated. He bought 10 chairs, now he gives them back. And you give him the money, and you've got this hard feeling, and says, oh,
Bezrat Hashem. And then you get another order.
Not another order. Somebody comes next, he wants 100 chairs. Yeah. And those 10 are exactly the 10 that are
missing
from the 100. And it didn't happen to me once. It happens all the time. In all different things. Mm-hmm. But you see God there. God is there. And that's Parashat Haman. To understand and realize that we still today get it from heaven. It's not a story about what happened in the desert. Today also we get it from heaven. It's the same thing. What's the problem with Pharaoh? Pharaoh thought that nature is something he can play around with. So what did God did with him? What did he do? Tav'u bayam. In Hebrew, teva, tav'u. They drowned in nature. They drowned in the sea. Litboa ze teva. So he thought he's God, he can play around. He's chasing and says, God, okay, I'll show you. You will drown in the nature. And that happens to us sometimes. We still look around and we think that everything is by accident. And we have also Amalek in the end of the parsha. What does Amalek say? Everything is an accident. Akol mikre. Asher karcha baderech. Everything is by accident. And this guy also, he hears about all the miracles, doesn't care. He goes to fight Am Yisrael, the chosen people that just now got out of Egypt with all those big miracles. Don't we do this sometimes? That's Amalek, it's inside us. We have a Pharaoh, we have Amalek, and we have also Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry. That's the lesson we have to learn. We have to look, who do we learn from? For example, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And we talk Shirat. What is Shirat Hayam? This is, they say this is one of the most important songs, Shirat Hayam. We say it every morning. Because it's so important. What is it all about? Shirat Hayam is, what is Shirat Hayam about?
Rejoicing
out of Egypt. Yes.
Crossing the sea. Song of the sea. It's of we got to cross out of Egypt.
There is not mentioned once in the Shirat Hayam Egypt.
Not
even once.
He took us out of Egypt.
And now we're singing this beautiful song, and we're not mentioning even once that God took us out of Egypt. You can look, you can read it from the beginning to the end. It's all talking about we are going into the sea, we are walking in the dry land, and the Egyptians are going in and drowning. That's what it's all about. And it's puzzling. Why don't we say thank you for taking us out of Egypt? Because it's exactly the idea. The idea, what's taken out of Egypt? This is now a matter of belief. Who created the world? God. Who controls the world? Hashem. So we have two options. Either I believe in nature doing things, which is the sea. The sea is one of the biggest thing in nature. Water, for example, is the acid of everything. We are built of more than 60% water. The whole creation, it's all built on water. In other words, without water, there is nothing. And
can't even have coffee.
Exactly.
It's written on a coffee cup.
And if you think about this, what is, if I want to see the power of water, where can I see it?
The sea.
No, the power of the water. In the sea, the physical water, in the sea. That's why Pharaoh is drowning in the sea. And that's why we are walking in the sea. And amayim lahem choma miminam umismolam. Also very interesting. Why? Because they're talking about the yam, the sea. But they're not saying ayam lahem choma miminam umismolam, that the sea is a wall from right and side and from the left side. But the water. Suddenly it's not hayam, it's amayim. What's the difference? The yam is the power of nature. Mayim is
Torah.
And this is the wall. V'amayim lahem choma miminam umismolam. How can you go in the ocean with all the waves, the big waves and the thing? How can you survive? How can you go on dry land in the middle of the water, in the middle of everything happening around you? Only if the water, the Torah, is a wall from the right side and from the left. Then you can walk. Bayabasha betoch hayam. In other words, the big lesson here is that Am Yisrael, the power is the Torah. And when we look around us and we don't want to drown in nature, what should we have to do? Learn Torah. What are we doing now?
Learn to swim.
Yes.
To learn to swim.
To learn to swim is also to learn Torah. Otherwise you cannot swim. But sometimes you don't even have to swim. Sorry?
My father used to tell me that it says no Torah, but you have to teach your children
to swim. The Gemara, yes. Yeah. There are a lot of things later in the Gemara and we don't do them.
He did.
I did also, but not everybody is doing it. So, We see that Vayi B'Shalach Paro, the title of the parsha, is really getting with all the parts of this parsha. Everything is here, is inside. Well, another interesting point in our parsha is that when everybody is going to the neighbors and asking for cutlery and tools and things from the Egyptian before they go out of Egypt, what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing?
Taking
Yosef, the bones of Yosef out. And in this is a very interesting thing. Why? Why is it so important to the Torah to mention that that Moshe took the bones of Joseph? Because you see, every minute we see that Am Yisrael want to go back to Egypt. There's something very interesting. So, with all due respect, you know, they didn't enjoy life there. But they still want to go every minute.
It was simple.
They were every minute they want to go back.
Burning their bridges.
It's so strange.
I'm almost cold.
So what's going on here? Sorry?
No, but this was okay, so you gave the answer.
Yeah, I said last time my mother-in-law had friends that were in the Holocaust. And, and they were sitting and talking about the wonderful food that they had in Poland, the wonderfulness they had in Poland.
My father never talked about the wonderful Poland. He was talking about how miserable they were.
But I must say, like, I've been last week in an exhibition in Germany, in Köln. And, you know, a few years ago, I've told you about it, I met a guy that I saw him every year there. And we're starting talking, and like we were going out of chul together. Started talking. Then I realized this guy was born in Köln, in Cologne, and he came back after the war.
Yeah, it's like, amazing.
You think to yourself, no.
Amazing.
Because we cannot understand it. Because, you know, this guy, at the end of the day, this is where he was born. For him, this is his homeland. With all due respect, it's very easy for us to talk. Then, also he said, okay, it's finished. So when you think about those, now, what is going through their mind? And what is this to do with what I talked about, the bones of Joseph? Because they were thinking, you know, now things are changed. Now if we go back, everybody's going to give us honor. Because after well, oh what God, what happened with God, what he did to them, now we're going to be again princes. So they show them, you see?
The bones of
Joseph. See the bones of Joseph? He was also a prince of Egypt. He was in charge of everything. And look what they did to his children. They enslaved them. Then, there is also another point. There are a lot of... you know, there were slaves for many, many years. Now they got so... How do they feel? Are they proud or are ashamed? Humiliated. They were slaves. Mm. So they showed them, you see these bones of Joseph? You are not a slave nation. You came from this. Joseph was a king. You have something to be proud of, like to raise your head. And then also there was another question. You know, they are going to get the Torah. And when they're going to get the Torah, people are going to say, how can you keep this Torah? It's against nature. Who can keep all those mitzvahs?
They do say it.
So they show them the Joseph, the bones of Joseph again. He kept the Torah. And by the way, people think that keeping the Torah means that you have to be miserable.
It's so hard.
So if they're going to get the Torah, how could he keep the Torah?
Who?
You're talking about the future, they're going to get the Torah.
The Torah is there all the time. The Torah was there before. They had a few laws that they already were learning and doing. The point is, when you talk about Joseph, you're talking about the Torah in the spiritual way. In other words, to do the right thing.
All right. So that's
now, that's Torah. Now, Joseph did the right thing always. And he didn't, on the contrary, it just gave him more and more. Not only spiritual power, but also physical power. He had everything. In other words, to be a scholar, or to be a Talmid Chacham, or to keep the Torah, or to keep the mitzvahs, doesn't mean you have to be miserable. You can be very rich and keep the Torah. Mm-hmm. It's not nothing wrong with it. You know, because some people can think, you know, I don't want to be a Talmid Chacham. Why? Talmid Chacham is... got nothing. He's going to. He's got nothing to eat. He doesn't have anything to wear.
Like Yiddish mothers, I want my son to be a doctor, not a
rabbi. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch wrote a whole book about this problem. In Germany, they started with giving the rights to the Jews and everybody could go to university and learn. A lot of the Jews went to university of the Goyim and they were starting to mingle with them, as we know. And one of the things they were looking at the Torah like some ancient thing that is not going with time. And so what did the Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch do? He wrote a book. One of the books is a book like a guy is asking question and he gives him answers. And it's very interesting because it shows him that the Torah not only is not ancient, the Torah is now and it's affecting everything in life. And by the way, he did something that if he would done it today, all the Haredim will stone him. He opened the school that learned
secular
and Torah.
Yeshiva.
Which is Yeshiva University, right? Which is Yeshiva Tichonit. Yeah. That's the same idea. And today everybody is telling, you're not allowed to do it. That's what Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch did. And he saved a lot of people this way. A lot of Jews is saved.
Torah Amada.
Because this is exactly the point, you know, to look at things in the right proportion. And to understand and realize that you have to do the right thing in the eyes of God. And that's the only thing. You heard a lot of times we think, maybe this, maybe that. Listen to yourself. You have inside this point, this the truth point. And it's going to tell you, is it right or wrong? You will feel it, but you have to listen to it. But as we say, Pharaoh is there. And he's trying to convince us with all the miracles we see that we can do things by ourselves. We cannot do anything. Everything is from God. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyirat shamayim. That's the only thing. And that's the idea of Shirat Hayam, to tell us that you can drown in nature or you can walk in dry land if you keep the Torah. You can have parnasa and you can enjoy your parnasa, but you have to think and understand and realize that you're only doing ishtadlut. God is the one who's giving you the parnasa from heaven. The same way as the manna came from heaven, today also, everything comes from heaven. And if it's all from heaven, and everything is written, there is nothing to be jealous with your friend. You can enjoy what you've got, and this is your share. And nobody can touch it the same way as you cannot touch the share of your friend. And there is no reason to be stingy today in order to keep money for the next generation or for the next 10 years or the 20 years.
So they don't give rebates, is that why they
don't... With rebate and without rebate, the idea is very simple. You have to trust God. And when you trust God, you behave differently. No, I'm not saying, you see, people can take it to... let's say, to a place where we're not talking about. You see, the idea is to go from one side with the laws of nature. In other words, as we said, you cannot sit in the tent and wait that the parnosa will come to you. It won't. You have to go out. Now, how many hours a day you have to work? Depends. Depends on your situation. Depends on you. But you have to go out and work. From the other side, you have to understand and realize that it doesn't matter how long you're going to work, how many hours, because even if you think you get a lot, the end of the day when you come back home, you get the same as God promised you. Nothing more, nothing less. And there are a lot of stories in life. You know, people sometimes like win the lottery. And then a few years later, what do you hear?
All gone.
All gone. Not only all gone, it's got more debts than before. But he won the lottery, yes. But depends what you're doing with the money. From the other side, you know, one of the interesting things, and we just should end the lesson, is we believe that God gives the parnasa. And, you know, I told you before, I had once in the business, I had a week, was very terrible. Instead of taking money, I was giving money. Everything went wrong. So I thought maybe we've got Ayin Hara. So I went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and said, he doesn't believe in Ayin Hara. So first, what is he telling me? There are only 2 days a year you work on Parnasa. That's it. That was his answer. He's got very short answers.
But
no. 2 days a year you work on Parnasa.
Without Parnasa?
No, you work only 2 days a year.
Only 2 days?
Well, 2 days a year to have the Parnasa?
Yes. Five.
And the rest?
What days? But rest? Which days?
That's what you said.
Okay.
What
days?
Yeah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh
Hashanah. 2 days. But I was going around for a week, they didn't understand what he wants from me. Because we pray for Parnasa every day.
Yeah.
So what's the idea? If Rosh Hashanah is enough, so after Rosh Hashanah, I'll stop praying for Parnasa. Because everything is written, everything is decided, so what's the point?
Then you don't have free choice, if we'll be like this.
So we say every day in Shema, what do we say? Vayayim Shema Shemayim Tzvatai. If you listen to God, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Going to have rain, you're going to have everything. And if you're not going to listen, it will stop. So this is 1 minute. I want to understand what's going on here. So the Gemara says, if Am Yisrael did tshuva, and God promised them a lot of rain, but unfortunately, 2 minutes after Yom Kippur, they're becoming big sinners. Now, are they going to get the same amount of rain that God promised or not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
For 1 year.
Yes.
So what's going to be? But they are sinners now.
But Hashem is Rachamim, and He waited. Maybe you can make tshuva. Then He give you.
I'll ask you a question.
And give you.
If I have a plant, I have a tree, okay? I have a small tree. And I give it water every day. Is it going to grow nicely?
Yes.
Bezrat Hashem. Now, if I take the whole amount of water for the whole year and drown what's going to happen now? But I gave him the whole year. I gave him, but in one go. That's what's going to be. See, God promised you the grain, the panosa. You're going to get what He promised, but you will get the rain in one go. That everything's going to rotten. Or let's say a different way. We didn't do tshuva properly, and God decided there's not going to be a lot of rain. And after Yom Kippur, we do tshuva. Now, what's going to happen now? Is God going to give us more rain?
Yeah, good rain. He'll give you enough.
No, it's not going to change, and the amount is going to be the same exactly. But you know the system of drops. By the way, this is an Israeli invention. And by the way, they found out that that's the best way, the best way, the dripping, that's the best way to grow things. So in other words, what's God going to do if you're doing tshuva? He's going to give you this small amount of water, but every drop is going to fall in the right place. Now take it to the normal world, Parnasa, yes? So if God promised you a lot of parnasa, and you did wrong afterwards, the parnasa will go. The same way it goes in, it will going to go out. For example, suddenly, the machine breaks. Then you have an accident. Then the Dud Shemesh goes wrong. And then the wall collapsed. God's got no problem. He's going to give you the money, but He's going also to take it. And then the way you've got nothing. From the other side, let's say God gave you a small parnasa, but you did tshuva, now you are a great guy. What is He going to do now? Nothing is going to go wrong in your house. In other words, the small amount that you get will be not only enough, be more than enough. And that's exactly the idea. You have to understand. Yes, what Chaim Kanievsky said, you get parnasa. On Rosh Hashanah, it's written how much you're going to get. Then you have to pray that it's going to come to the right place at the right time and the right moment.
So if it's this, like, why we are not praying for rain all this time?
What do you mean?
Hasn't it been coming?
All the Rabbanim make us ask for